Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. Well, on today's episode, we're going to examine this, what is God like? And so two episodes ago, we really brought forth how God reveals himself and gave us his name, that of I am that I am, Jehovah, Yahweh. And now God progressively reveals what he is like. And over the next few weeks, we're going to examine this from Exodus chapter 34, kind of dig in to what God says here. You know, as we introduce ourselves, we typically begin with our name, and then share some things maybe that are really important about who we are. That's how we want people to know us, people to remember about us. We'll start with the most important things first. Well, God reveals his name to Moses and to us. I am that I am, Jehovah, Yahweh. And now God begins to tell us what he is like or who he is. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 through 7, to give you the context, God is remaking the Ten Commandments. They were broken when Moses came down. They were worshiping the golden calf. And so now Moses is coming up to talk to God. He's making these new stones. And God says this, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God,'" and that's capital, is the Jehovah God, "merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation." And so when you and I proclaim our name, you are letting people know how you want to be known. For some of you, it may be your first name. It may be a nickname. It may be a middle name or even a shortened version of your name. But this is important to you. You want to be known for who you truly are. You don't want someone else to define you or attempt to describe you or to really say something wrong about you. God proclaiming his name in this passage means this. This is how God wants to be known. This is how God wants you and I to think of him first and foremost. This is my name, and this is who I am. And let's look exactly where he starts. Jehovah is what? Merciful and gracious. He says, this is where we begin. This is what's most important. Merciful means he's full of compassion. He's not giving people what they truly deserve. And every use in scripture of this word is used in relation to God. Then he says he's gracious, which just means abounding in compassion. So he's full of it, but he's also abounding. It's overflowing. He's showing mercy. And again, this word is used only as a descriptive word about God. God is saying this, hey, I want you to know my name is Jehovah. And I want you to know this first about me, that I am doubly merciful and compassionate. He wants you and I to get this about him. He essentially says this, my nickname is merciful, but you can also call me gracious. God begins, I am the eternal, self-existent, all-powerful creator of the universe. Now, let me tell you more about my relational side. Now, let's sit down, essentially, and have a cup of coffee. Let's sit down and have a meal. And let me just share with you the reality of who I am. I am merciful and gracious. This is where God begins, and so this is where God wants you and I to start with him. God shows us what mercy and grace look like. Jehovah runs over with it. How does he show us what mercy and grace look like? One, by giving the law. That's what's occurring here in the context of the passage. You say, giving the law shows mercy and grace. Isn't that nothing but a list of do's and don'ts and I can't live up to them? And it's just, that's the negative side. That's not mercy and compassion. That's justice. No, wait just a minute. You see, God giving the law was showing you and I the right way and the wrong way to live. The law isn't just about the do nots. It's also all about the do's. And we typically think of the law in a negative way, but that's missing its true nature. Honestly, the law comes out of God's mercy. Think about it. The law does what? In our society, it protects our society where we can have peace, We can have community. We can have safety. We can have harmony. God is just straight up. He's up front with the expectations and guidelines. He's not deceiving us. He's not kind of hiding them. You know, you hate when you have some legal mumbo jumbo that's hidden and you don't see it. And they come back and say, well, you signed it. You press agreed. But you didn't see it. It wasn't clear. It wasn't up front. God's just up front. We don't have to guess what we should be doing. We don't have to guess how to honor Jehovah, how to serve him, how to worship him. He tells us. And so he's showing us mercy and grace by giving the law, but also by not giving people what they deserve. These people deserve judgment. I mean, just in the matter of 40 days, they had walked away from God. I mean, this is the second time that God is giving the tablets. Moses broke the first ones in righteous anger when he came down there worshiping the golden calf. You see, these people immediately broke their agreement with God, and they broke their agreement with the commandments. They had verbally said, we will follow these. We will follow God. And so those shattered tablets revealed how they had shattered their agreement with God. The disobedience of Israel represents also our disobedience. The broken tablets represent our sin. But God is merciful and gracious. He was merciful and gracious by not just bringing down justice immediately on them. He's being merciful and gracious that he's even given them a second chance. And God is merciful and gracious to you and I by giving us Jesus Christ, which was what? A fulfillment of the law he's writing here. You see, God overflows with mercy and grace by giving it, it says, to thousands and thousands of people over and over again. It's not just one person. Two times, it's thousands and thousands and millions of people over and over. Think about how many times God has had to be merciful today. When you take in the whole world, take in just your community, take in just you and me. Think about it. How many times does someone have to wrong you before you are done? How many times do you have to forgive before you are just done? Peter was like, look, seven times, Lord, please tell me. That's like maxed out. And Jesus said, nope, seven times 70, meaning you have to always forgive. You see, when people do us wrong, we want to cut them off. We don't want to give them mercy. We want justice to come down. But in contrast, do you see the abundance of mercy and grace that God gives you and I? The beautiful thing about the Christian life is it's a life of new beginnings. Think about it. God gives us the gift of a new day, a new week, a new month, a new year. God's mercies are new every single day. When you lay your head down at night and God gives us the need, you and I have to sleep. We have to have the need to sleep. We wake up and it is a fresh day. Those past mistakes, past failures, they may still be there, but we have an opportunity to start fresh, to start again, to begin again. And so God allows us to experience his mercy every single day. He allows us not to be held by our past, our mistakes, our failures. He gives us a completely new day to start fresh, to start over. You know what that is? It's God's mercy. In Lamentations, Jeremiah, one of the books that he wrote, he talks about this in chapter 3, verse number 21, speaking about God's mercy. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, because he's good, he's gracious, he's merciful. They are new every morning. And he says, this great is thy faithfulness. Notice the characteristic of God, his mercy is rooted in. It's rooted in his faithfulness. God's mercy will be faithful. God cannot not be merciful. Why is this important? God's not going to change one day to a grumpy old God who is no longer merciful. God's mercy is founded on a God who is faithful and will always be faithful. God will always be merciful. And so that's where God begins with you and I. Jehovah is merciful and gracious. And then secondly, he says, I am long-suffering. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, and Jehovah is long-suffering. This is where I want you to begin. Now, put those two together. Put merciful, abounding, overflowing with mercy. Put abounding, overflowing with grace. And then tack on long-suffering. It's an adjective meaning to draw out, to be slow, long. It means to show extremely long patience. It's long, drawn out patience. That's what it means. And when it's used to describe God, it means slow to anger. And it's immediately contrasted with God's great love, his faithfulness and power. You see, God is provoked every single day. At this moment, there's someone speaking against God. There's someone shaking their fist at God. There's someone saying a wrong, false idea about God, yet he's patient. And that's in contrast to you and I, who are hasty, impatient, impulsive humans. God literally waits to be merciful. God waits by being merciful. Why? Because he's compassionate. God shows us what long-suffering looks like. You see, God could have reacted or acted in anger when the children of Israel made that false golden calf. He could have given them instant justice. They broke an agreement. But rather, he was extremely patient with undeserving people. He made a second tablet and gave them a second chance. God waits to be gracious. God waits to give out mercy. Have you experienced the patience of God? How many times have you sinned? How many times have you not been faithful to God? How many times have you broken promises, doubted, or complained against him? God has been true to his name. He has been merciful and gracious to you and to me. Stop, pause, and recognize his patience in your life and just how far that goes. Now, as we think about God's name, it's interesting as he writes these tablets, one of the commands on there is about taking his name in vain. So God expects, I guess, since he shared his name, his children will use his name. And one of those commandments on the tablet deals directly with God's name. He tells us not to take his name in vain. If we were to back up to Exodus chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, he said, "And show him mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." So what does it mean when we take God's name in vain? We typically think of it as using it as a cuss word. Vain means it's empty, it's useless, it's without meaning. It's the opposite of what Jesus said in his model prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." Hallowed means holy, set apart. Here, we're using it in the opposite way. We typically think of when we're flippantly saying like OMG or "Oh Lord" or something like that. But I want us to think much deeper than that, and we'll look at one of these in each of our episodes. One way we can use God's name is by not attaching God's name to his character. Essentially, this is like committing identity theft. We strip away the value that's connected with his name. One way to do this would be using his name to receive benefits. We attach his name to what we're doing. We say a quick prayer. We say we're doing it as a Christian or in Jesus' name, but in reality, we don't care. We're using his name lightly and without regard to who he truly is. Another way to use God's name in vain is by being a hypocrite. You see, when you and I say we're a Christian, you and I say we're a follower of Christ, but our lives do not line up, we're claiming the name of God, the name of Jesus, but we live a life completely different than that name. We're living a double life. We're living on the fence, and I've heard it said that the fence is Satan's fence. Either you're in or out. There is no living on the fence. That's where Satan wants you. But when you and I use God's name, but we don't attach it to his character, to who he truly is, we do that when we're being a hypocrite. We do that when we're not fully in, when we're not fully following him. And this, God says, is a sin against his law. And he says, "I will not hold him guiltless that taketh my name in vain." So God says, "Look, this is my name. I'm Jehovah. I'm merciful and gracious. And this is how I want you to begin to know me. I am long-suffering." Put those three together and praise God. He is so merciful and so gracious, and he's so extremely patient with you and I because we don't get what we should deserve.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.